calling in, dialing in from. I'm going to make my comments brief. My job right now is just to introduce our guest speaker, Mark LaScola from On The Mark Consulting. I have had the pleasure to work with Mark and his team on a couple of occasions, and I can vouch for a very robust methodology. And he can give you more details on his great client project experience. I think, like you, I'm very excited to hear having him share with us the approach and thinking on operating models. So, Mark, thank you very much for volunteering to share your wisdom and experience on this topic. And I'm going to turn it right over to you.
Great, thanks. Welcome, everyone. Tanya and Eddie, thanks for having me and to your board members. Two things. One is, Tanya, I thought that was very savvy the way you introduced Eddie as being more tenured board member. I thought you could have said something else.
I didn't catch that. I love it.
the other thing I want to say is, on a note of seriousness, less than a month ago, we lost one of our organization design colleagues, Stuart Wiggum, passed away right at the end of the year. And I have made it a point for all of January for anything that I'm doing like this to basically do these in honor of Stuart and his contribution, his friendship, his laugh, for those of you who knew Stuart, and his contribution to our field. He was also an On The Mark colleague, worked with us for a few years. And anyway, as we go through this next hour together, just keep Stuart and his family in your prayers. And this is to you, Stuart. This is in honor of you. So I'm going to just make a couple of comments, and then I'm going to get to the questions. And let me just say that I've asked Tanya to kind of help me with the logistics, because I really want this to be a dialogue and really a discussion. I have prepared a few slides with some working examples and some wisdoms over the 450 redesigns that I've been part of in over 30 years. And I thought I'd bring some of that to you, but I also want to acknowledge we have a tremendous amount of genius and experience in organization design on this dialogue session. So we really want to just open it up. Let me share with you why I picked the topic, and then we'll get right to the questions. And Tanya, just acknowledge, I'll just share my screen when I go right to the questions. Is that correct? Okay, thanks for that. It's probably not uncommon for all of us to walk into an organization or one of our customer groups that said 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we did this large transformation. And it's probably not uncommon for you to recognize that the organization, when you get into the day-to-day operating model, into how things get done on a day-to-day basis, that people are stuck in two worlds. They're in the old world and then the new world. And what we see is they haven't really quite completed the transformation that they started 2 or 3 years ago. We have one or two clients who are particularly good at taking people and throwing them into new organizations, but never really completing the design work and thinking that's organization design. I also see it among our professional colleagues who think reconfiguring people into not org charts, but into new teams and different boundaries, they think that that's work and that's organization design. It couldn't be farther from the truth. And I think the most seductive thing is always focused on people. And I'll share with you that it's my experience that it is very cosmetic change to move people from one team to another. Now, don't let me downplay the drama that happens when you move people from one job to another or from one team to another. To our HR colleagues on the call, and for those of you who've been, that's happened to you, I recognize that that's a lot of change. But from a design perspective, for me, that's cosmetic change, and it's the easy things to do, and it's far from what we call organization design. So my hope in our conversation today, when we talk about working out the operating model, I'll share with you our working definition after we have a discussion. But it's really about what is organization design and what is working out the operating model. So with that said, I'll share with you some of my views as we go, but I'll also want to just have us engage in dialogue. So I have a first set of questions, and Tanya, and I'll set up the questions. There's three set of questions that I'd like to have as you go into different breakouts. You can choose one of the questions, but you can't choose all three. So if you could stick with that rule, that would be great. And Tanya, I'm not sure how you're going to do that, but let me set the questions up, and then you can take it from there. And these slides will be made available. Tanya, you'll have them on a link. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. And then that'll be part of, I'll let everybody know when we've got them available.
Okay. Can everybody see the screen? Tanya, can you see the screen?
I can, yes.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I think we can.
Okay, great. Thanks for that. So I won't go through. So here's our first three questions. How would you practically define the term operating model? And what is the relationship between an operating model and a business model? Is it the same or different? And the third question is, how's an operating the same or different than organization design? So you can take one of these questions per team. I'm going to give you, Tanya, what's a good amount of time already? Can you give me some advice based on your previous conversations?
Well, if they're answering one question, I would suggest we give them maybe 4 or 5 minutes in the room. Right now, I've got it split up with 6 or 7 people in one room. Would you think that's too many? Should we?
No, I think that's great. Let's do it.
Okay. So
see,
I will.
How about we see in 4.5 minutes?
Okay. And then I will put a copy of these questions at the top of the screen when you go into your breakout room, so you have them as a reminder and as a group. Maybe you pick which one you'd like to discuss, and then you'll get a countdown when there's 1 minute left of your time to be in the space. So it looks like there's a handful of you who are still in the main meeting space, and you'll probably have to accept an invite to go into that breakout room if you'd like to pop in and join.
To team one, Richard in particular, I accidentally bailed on you guys. I pushed the wrong button when the notification came up about how much time we had left. So I apologize. Richard, I was enjoying your point there. I'm sorry I missed it.
Well, I was actually enjoying the qualification or the clarification. And I don't remember who was making it. But I made my point. I thought we were all pretty much in agreement, and I appreciated the clarifications.
Good. Okay. I'll mute myself.
So we had three questions. How might you let's take them in order. How might you practically define the term operating model? Who took that on? How would you answer that? Miriam, you look like you want to talk. Did you guys talk about that in your group?
Actually, we did. We kind of went through all three. I think we weren't able to go through which one is without looking at the relationship of the others. And I think that was where we were kind of trying to tease out the dimensions. Like, is one more that overarching concept that is then rolls into the business model, and then is the operating model more the functional play out of that? And then is the design that overarching component that helps make sense of all of those things? But we were starting to get into nuances of which is which and what is what. So we couldn't help ourselves but work all three.
That's okay. It's a good, all three questions are so interrelated, so it's easy to get pulled into one as you start talking. Andrew, did you want to add something?
Only that we also struggle with that, and we talked about the business model, operating model as well, obviously. We didn't come to a conclusion in 4.5 minutes. That's the bottom line. And you can see me struggling here with the guy. I don't really have much to say. And we just got into the subject. I think where we got to, bottom line, is business model is focused on the finance side. So where we did start was the business model defines how we're going to make money, and the operating model defines how we're going to deliver that business plan. So we talked about, you know, you might have a business model that said, hey, we think in the market we can sell for this and we think we can make for this. But then, you know, the operating model was, okay, how do we execute on that? And then we kind of got into this whole discussion around Amazon versus Barnes & Noble and Eddie Bauer versus REI.
And where did that go, Andrew? And then go to Donna.
Oh, okay. I thought you said we're going to go to Donna with that one. Where did that go? So with the Barnes and the Barnes and Noble Amazon, I guess we had the discussion of they both sell books. One sells, you kind of then went and sold everything, and one is focused much more being online, and one is the kind of in-store experience. So that you end up with the same product in your hand, but have a very different way of getting there. And the REI. Eddie Bauer discussion, I'm not sure where we ended up with that one, other than, you know, one was much more focused on again, experience. So REI is about, I'm going to go and have a venture, and it's kind of end to tail as their business model is to give people experiences, where Eddie Bauer is much more about, oh, save a buck and buy these clothes.
Got it. Donna, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but your camera came on, so I interpreted that as maybe had a contribution. How about you?
Yeah, I had to step away for a second. Just give me the context. Someone was at my front door.
That's okay. I hope it wasn't Amazon. I don't mean to put you on the spot, and I'll open it up to anyone else. Is the three questions were, you know, how do you define an operating model? Is an operating model the same or different than a business model? And there was a third question for which escapes me, even though I wrote it, and I'll come back to it in a second.
Yeah, I was in the group with Carlos where we struggled with picking one, and we started looking at all three of those questions and the relationships between the different, you could call them model structures, whatever, but the idea that, and I liked what, I forget who said it at the start of this, like, what is your business? What is the business model? How do you intend to deliver value to customers? And then how are you going to do that? Which is more the operating model question, which is a very high level question in my opinion. And then how do you actually organize yourself to do that?
Gotcha.
Right? Which are questions about structure, power and authority, decision-making, all of that.
Right, right. Hey, Deb Peluso, good to see you online. Do you have anything to add?
Hey there, nothing to add. I think it's mostly been said already, but I would summarize the difference as the inner workings of an organization, systems, processes, talent management, rewards, structure, was really, as we were thinking about the mechanics of how things work versus the outward experience of what a customer or stakeholder experiences.
I have a thought, if I could.
More than could.
Oh, thanks, Mark. So for me, there we got into a discussion before I accidentally bailed on my team. my technological savvy is just lacking. About that third question was, what's the difference between an operating model and an org design? And we had, now I they said some stuff after I left, but to me, as I pondered it while sitting there waiting for us to rejoin the total group, I thought, I wonder if it isn't a gray area. In other words, I think it's probably worth deciding for yourself where that line is between operating model and org design. But I wonder if it moves, if different people improve it, interpret it in different ways. I'm not sure. And it's a question I come out of this with that question.
Well, you know, and Carlos, a couple of just reflections. When I first started doing design work, 1987 was my first design experience. Nobody talked about organization design. Now you actually have people and customers asking for organization design. It's been an interesting evolution over 30 something years, right? 35 years or so, to watch kind of the language and how that's changed. And now, we talk about organization design as a solution to actually modernizing an operating model. So we don't see organization design as the end state. We see it as the solution to solve operating model problems, misalignments and things like that. So we don't even use organization design as a noun about the business itself for any reflections. We use it as a solution. So the problem is typically in the operating model. When customers say, well, we talk about an operating model being fit for purpose. And is the operating model aligned with the business model? And I'll show you that in just a second, but just plant that seed. How about any other comments? How about the second question or the third question? Let's open it up.
This is Bruce. And I, a couple comments. One is that within our second question discussion, a couple of us raised the word strategy a number of times. And strategy in relation to the business. I just hadn't heard that, you know, in other groups yet. As we did the debrief here, it started to occur to me, my motive for joining this webinar, this Zoom session, is that I suspect there is no standard way of defining these, and that's very useful for me just to stumble around in here and start to see, oh, am I wrong? Is there some standard definition? Or, as you just pointed out, what's mine? So I find that a really useful discussion. I am frankly hoping we can stumble around, because that means in the end we can invent what the standard model is. And I'll back off here.
Yeah, I think there is some room for invention, but I also think there's also a lot out there already. So the part of it is one of the things about our field is that a lot of us try to reinvent things. You know, someone comes up with a new model, I think, okay, you change the shape or the colors, but really it's in essence the same thing. We all like to be creative, kind of thing, and how do we make things our own? So I do try to balance, Bruce, is what is that balance between reinventing sliced bread and then getting clear for ourselves? Andrew, you have a kind of a smirk on your face. Is that kind of penny for your thoughts a little bit? I guess that's the downside of showing your video.
Hey, Mark. Oh, sorry. Whenever you have a chance, I have just a quick comment to make.
No, go for it. Go for it.
Go, Andrew. Pam. Yeah.
So I'm really boring. I'm looking at Cates and Kessler's book, Bridging Organization Design and Performance, right, which I've relied on a lot for how I tend to sort of communicate about the operating model. So I'm just going to read this real quickly. It's the operating model is the artful combination of org structure, process, governance forms, metrics, and reward systems that tie together global business units and functions with far-flung geographic market units. Now, admittedly, they're focused on the global operating model, but I still sort of take that sort of operating model definition, even if I'm thinking about it in the context of a division, or even if it's not necessarily global. But they are using the term of sort of managing the complexity and the tension to sort of balance leverage and agility, which is the focus of what they sort of address, I know, in this book. Anyway, just wanted to share that.
It's a good starting point, but it's insufficient.
Great. Want to hear more?
Yeah, I'm happy to add that. So, Andrew, you're on.
Oh, I shouldn't have. Is this because I'm an Andrew? I get to be at the front all the time. I'm just kidding. So the smirk was actually in reaction to your comment about, you know, what's the balance between reinventing sliced bread and you know, and just want, and the actual wanting to be creative and bring something new. And then my mind wandered off into Panera and au bon pan, the whole story I heard on NPR. So, but it really was in reaction to your thought about, you know, the what's creative and what's just, oh, I reinvented the wheel. I'm sorry there's no more insight on that one. I also start in the same place as Pam on the operating model versus org design. I sort of think of org design as a subset of operating model, and you know that, and that's more because I'm a consultant like most of us on this call and have to make things simple for clients, and so talk about org design as kind of more structure, roles, responsibilities, decision making, and the operating model adding in the broader picture, governance, processes, etc. Gotcha. The other thing that I'm always careful about is someone mentioned, you know, do we have to define it for ourselves? I think Carlos, it was you actually. And yeah, but actually, if you define it for yourself, that's a great starting point. Doesn't even have to agree with anyone else, but as long as you're clear. And I also think that organization design can be a loaded terminology because it sometimes comes with baggage of we're going to rearrange deck chairs and remove chairs as we do it. So that's my thought about org design. For me, has sometimes had that I'm going to, you know, get rid of positions. And operating model doesn't necessarily have that thing. But what's business process reengineering and what's operating model? I don't know.
Well, they're not. So you'll get the world according to me. is if you're doing org design properly, you should be.
Agreed.
You should be getting some kind of capacity release. For example, and we're going to get to this in just a second, which is my second question. And Tanya, can you confirm we got 30 minutes left?
Yes, we do. And Mark, you've got a question from Heather in the chat too.
I saw that. Let me come back. Let me go to Heather's question, which is actually kind of, Heather, you're being way humble. Actually, we're showing our age, or I'm showing my age, is what terminology did the industry use before was org design? I'm going to give you, I'm going to open it up and I'll give you my practical example. One of the first designs that I actually did for On the Mark when I went out on my own, the customer came to us and said, we have a new technology coming in and we're not ready for it. And we have a morale problem. Can you do some team building? We need some strategic planning. And oh, by the way, we have $1 million worth of errors a month that we can't solve. Can you help us do each one of these things fragmented? So it's my summary of saying back in the 90s and the late 80s, nobody asked for org design. That I can't even remember that. It was only until mid 90s, a little later in the 90s, that some more, I would say, enlightened customers starting using the term organization design. For some of our tenured people here, Craig, you're on the call. Kathy, for those of you who've been around a long time, like me, what would you say was used?
Well, you know, you? Mark, the only difference I'd say is back in the 70s and 80s, org design was synonymous with installing self-managing work teams in a manufacturing setting.
Right.
And then, you know, all the things around TQM, continuous improvement, kind of crowded it out. And then I think ourselves, we kind of redefined the discipline of organization design. And we would do it, but not necessarily call it that.
So, I couldn't agree with you more, Craig, but nobody ever called, nobody said to you, they might have said, can you set up teams? But they never said to you, can you redesign us so that we can work flatter and dry, you know, and in a different environment?
Yeah, part of, just a comment here to piggyback on that. I mean, part of the ODF struggle in the 90s was we were defining, you know, redefining organization design as a concept, as a systemic concept. And that was really the big thing. How do we create and talk about and apply and sell a systemic approach effectively? And that seems to have, that hurdle seems to have, you know, been passed over the years, but that was really kind of the evolution of how that occurred. So it's really the systemic design of what?
Right.
Is what I think the question you're raising, Mark. You know, what are we designing? And to me, it's more of we're designing the operating model generally in the context of the broader business model, which to me is strategy and how you compete in the marketplace, which includes how you make money. That's kind of how I see it.
It's funny, Eamon, I would agree with you. I think Europe, and even to this day, I think Europe is a little bit more mature than the U.S. I think sometimes in North America, we're a little bit more arrogant in the companies. But Eamon is saying that in the 80s, people were asking for org design. Do you want to expand on that at all? Yeah, it says there's been a shift to greater interest in operating models over the past decade.
Yeah, got it. So, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Eamon. Welcome.
Yes, I thought I was muted. Yes, I mean, I started in consulting in the late 80s with one of the big four, and we were working with all of the kind of FTSE 100 type clients on top level organization design. There was a really decent business in that. And if anything, it feels like organization design, particularly strategic organization design, has become less in demand in recent times because everybody wants to talk about their operating model. Mm-hmm. And of course, operating model can mean, as we've just been discussing, can mean many different things. So you really have to define which your clients, you know, what are we talking about here? You know, what do they understand it to be? What do we understand it to be?
That's great, Eamon. Thank you for your contribution. I'm going to share with you one slide and then we're going to go to the next set of questions and just keep us moving. One slide that I want to share with you. Let me get there and tell me if you can give me some feedback. You can see the screen. Somebody say something.
Carlos, yep. You got it? We can see it. It was the first set of questions.
First question.
Yep, I got you. I'm just trying. Oops, sorry, that was the wrong screen. That's the wrong thing I want to share. So let me stop share that. Don't need to see that anymore. Let me share this piece here. Go back to this. Large projection. So if you just take a second, this is how we approach it. I gave you a Wikipedia definition for how they define operating model. And then I gave you OTM's definition underneath it. And then this is how we approach one versus the other. And you can certainly use this or cut it up and throw it out, but I just thought I'd give you something to push off of. The one thing I will say to you is this, in our definition, it is the rhythm and the pace and the drumbeat of the day-to-day business. And if you're not getting to that level, you're not touching the operating model. And while that's a little fuzzy like culture, it is basically about what work gets done, how it gets done, how it gets managed, and the pace of that. And for us, that's what makes an operating model at that level. So using that as a kind of a place to push off of, here's our next set of questions. And again, I'm going to give you about 4 minutes. And the question is, what is meant by strategic organization design? And you can discuss both questions. And what are the important levers that must be addressed to impact the operating model? What do you think is core? And I want you to be really practical on number two. And let's start with the basic premise that moving people into boxes into different teams. Let's take that off the table and say, this has nothing to do with people. What are the things that you think you have to address in organization design to really impact the operating model? And it's back to you, Tanya. Do you want to put us into whatever teams you've configured for us? You're on mute.
Yep, this time I'm just going to automatically kick you in directly, so you shouldn't have...
...for it to populate, is that right?
Yep, so everybody's being pulled out.
Yeah. It's a rude thing. It's like premature, like.
You're coming out whether you want to or not.
Exactly.
Like mom standing there counting down.
Exactly.
You've That's got what I was three. Thinking. Don't make me say one.
Wow. We got some resistance going on.
Yeah, once you get the notice, you can come back quicker, but at 1 minute out, it automatically pulls you.
Got it.
Yeah, well, that was, boy, we're boom, back. You're out of there.
Exactly. There's Carlos, that was, you're coming out whether you want to or not.
They're coming out of warp.
Exactly. Hey, John. Okay, let's open it up. Let's go to the more important one, which is levers. What are the things that you think you have to get your hand on? And what I'd like to ask is, let's not talk at the like governance, culture, like those are all nice words, but what do you have to do at the operating model level and practicality that you're working at the operating model level?
Hey, Mark, I didn't get a chance to add this into our group, but I think this kind of builds on something that was getting discussed right at the end, which is the organization's willingness or often reluctance to actually change the profile of the people that they're going to either select into the new roles or that they're going to actually hire in the future. It's that willingness to reframe the behavioral profile and then actually make the hard decisions about the people that are being staffed, selected, or moved on.
Yeah, early on in our design work, in our methodology, we do an HR policy way up front that says, if you're gonna do a redesign, how are you gonna treat people? And what happens if jobs change, people move teams, people have to work in different locations, what are you gonna do? So you're right. But one of the things that we try to apply in our solution is an ounce of prevention is a pound of cure. So we try to set that up way up front to get them thinking about, if you're really gonna do a design, you need to make sure that you're thinking about that now, not later, not when you get down to that place. But you're absolutely right. It is an indicator at the operating model level, but typically impacts on people for me are a lagging indicator and not a leading indicator on the operating model. Meaning, if you've done your operating model work correctly, you're going to have impacts to people and you're going to have impacts to jobs, and some people may have a place and some people may not. To me, that's lagging. How about something more leading?
Well, one of the things I brought up in our discussion group as we were pondering like what it used to be at, what clients used to ask for and how it's showing up now, is over the course of those decades, a lot of what was driving big change was technology, right? And because that hadn't been there before, and that technology was getting adopted all over the place, which was impacting information flow and how that information was or wasn't getting used, then I think became a lever for, well, we have these tools. Are we using this information to actually get smarter about how we're running our business? And how do we align ourselves? Or we're feeling the pain because we haven't aligned ourselves. Anybody who's lived through an SAP implementation knows what that looks like, right?
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh, yes, exactly. So for me, technology was a lever. Big dramatic change in the competitive environment is a lever. Disruptors, which is what we see now. But, based upon what somebody else was saying earlier, I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was. It's, you know, as that technology and all of those kinds of changes, there was also this awareness of seeing organizations as a system. You know, whether people consciously use that language or not, I think inherently they started to be able to see all of the elements of that system and how it interacts with its environment. And then the levers would be, where's the pain?
Gotcha. Somebody else. Let me see if we have a chat here. We have a couple of comments, I think.
I wanted to throw in that I really like this rubber meets the road kind of mentality we have in our discussion. And for me, one of the rubber meets the road is when we talk about culture, what does that mean? And for me, maybe the most practical application or practical interpretation is, who do we listen to? And who do we want to hear from and who do we not want to hear from? And the stakeholder model for me starts, in fact, it underlies a lot of my operating systems or operating models. But who do we look at as having a stake in what we're doing? And do we want to hear from them? Or do we shut them down? Or do we ask for their input? And often that gets to shape the culture of who we include and who we exclude.
If I was to give me a thought there, Bruce, and to your point, Mark, about how do we know we're working at the operating model level or the real kind of granular level, I think of culture as the way work gets done around here, which is, I think, a cliche way of describing culture, but very practical way of describing it. It's just how things happen, right? And I think one of the ways that you know that you are affecting the operating model is, have you established new rituals? And I think that's a really good way of thinking of things.
Well, one of the wisdoms that we use is nothing changes till behavior changes, right? So if people don't have new rituals, if you don't replace those rituals or ways of working with new ways of working, then what you have is you can get this schizophrenic organization where people are still, well, you see it in M&A acquisitions when they say, oh yeah, we've done the integration, and you've got teams, you can see where the separations are and the fault lines. It's no different in that view. So I think you're right, Andrew. How about somebody else?
Hey, Mark. So,
you go ahead.
Oh, this is Deb, real quick. Eddie and I work together quite a bit. And one of the things, if we want to talk about rubber meeting the road, that we do that we have found really helpful is something called role negotiations. So maybe we've redesigned processes and maybe we've reconfigured teams. And now I'm the head of Department A and you're the head of Department B. We may know each other. We may have worked together before in a different capacity, but now we need to come up with a new agreement about how we're going to partner to make this new organization, this new operating model come to life. And so that's one of the things that we spend a lot of time on, and we think about it sometimes as speed dating. Like, you got to spend time with each person and figure out how you're going to work and how you're going to operate.
Right. Well, there's new, you know, there's new patterns of who people you relate to and go to, and how do you unfreeze, or how do you change those patterns so that people go to who they need to go to, not just who they're used to going to. So it's all part of that equation. I want to make sure we get to the wisdoms. Are there any other comments? I'm going to share a couple of slides for you to consider. And then let's go to the last piece. Let me know if you can see this screen.
Yes.
Dialogue 2, strategic, yeah.
Yep, so I'm gonna just, sorry.
And Mark, you know you're at your 10 minute mark.
Yes, I do know that, Eddie, thanks.
Okay.
There's some slides in here, but I wanna give you one example this is an example of an entirely reworked glue mechanism that connects strategy to operations. That when we do design work, Galbraith typically talked about them as coordinating and integrating mechanisms. This is a classic vertical glue mechanism, a vertical coordinating integrating mechanism. And this was for a European, pan-European wide business that basically redesigned how it was gonna plan and operate its business on a day-to-day basis, which impacted reporting, report creation, metrics. And for me, this is one classic example, and this is the digital view of what they came up with. Is a really perfect example of, if you're not working at this level, and if you're not impacting those reporting mechanisms and how it all fits together and how the business is managed, regardless if it's managed with managers or if it's managed without having manager roles, it still has to be managed. And to me, this is one of the indicators of working at the operating model level, but by itself, it's not the only thing. So my last question to the group is this. And this question is for all, is I have a few wisdoms about how do you know you're working at the operating model level. what is one wisdom that you have to know, besides what we've already talked about, that you're working at that level, that you're getting to the level where people are going to operate different, there's going to be different rituals, that the way we behave and the way we do our work is differently. Tanya, let me pass it off to you to say how we're going to answer this question. Can you help me there?
Yeah, I think it'd be great to keep this as an open conversation. And then if you speak, maybe capture what you said in the chat box. Or if you're not wanting to speak up for a moment, you can still add this content to the chat box, because this will all be downloaded and made available on the site for those who don't have a chance to listen or watch the whole video.
Got it. So let's open it up. What's your one wisdom that you apply in your own work? And there's some number of comments going on, and I'll look at those while we hear from some of you who have microphone ability.
Mark, this is Eddie. I don't have a wisdom to share, but I have an insight. You've changed the way I think about operating model. This conversation has changed the way I think about operating model. For me,
So Eddie, why is that?
For me, the way I was thinking, so one of your first questions was operating model part of org design. For me, it's operating model has always been a part of doing org design, mapping out the operating environment, and then looking at the entities and helping the organization piece it together and what are the connections, and not necessarily going into the example you showed was more like the strategic planning processes and things. And I'm like, okay, and what I'm hearing the discussion around HR policies and those things, yeah, that's how the different functions operate. And I've never, in my concept of operating model, I hadn't got down to that layer, that level of specificity.
Gotcha. Somebody else, any guiding wisdoms, anything you want to share? And then I'm going to throw this out from Andre. Good to have you on board, Andre. He asked, how many sessions did it take to complete the chart? Actually, that was a three-day piece of work, Andre, to the previous slide that I showed you. And of course, there's lots of socialization that has to happen and checking things out. But other wisdoms, anyone else?
Since no one's talking, I'll talk again. One of the wisdoms is when you're in a room and you're talking about this, you know, the session with the post-its, and you talk about one step of a process and two people are telling you three different ways they do it, then you know that you're at the level of, okay, now we're starting to understand how things happen. And then you can get to, okay, how do you want it to happen? And how do we create and co-create?
That's exactly right. It's a really good indicator, Andrew, where now you know you're potentially affecting the way the rhythm and the pace of how business is run on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Bruce said, hey, everyone, there are many quiet ones whose wisdoms we must not miss. So between the 9 o'clock hour and me being quiet, Any reflections from anyone else at this point in time?
One that I'll add is you know you're at the operating level if you're starting to see handoffs or places where handoffs are not clear. Mm. So that they can be solved for. So it's the horizontal.
Yep. Vertical. Well, one of our wisdoms to your point is we follow the work. And when you follow the work, where are the handoffs? And typically in organizations are overly fragmented anyway and over-specialized, right, which basically is an indicator that they've overly fragmented the value stream. Right. And it probably doesn't take long to get to those interdependencies. Who are you interdependent with in terms of doing that work? Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave you with a couple of wisdoms just to push off of. And some of the wisdoms, and they're not by any means an end set of wisdoms, but let me know when you can see this. And there are quite a number of messages. So here's a couple of our wisdoms that we at On the Mark is when we know we're talking about how the customer experience will be different when we talk about working outside in, is what's the impact to the customer in the terms of what they'll be receiving. But regardless of the OTM wisdoms here, in the last few minutes, let's hear from some of you in terms of any other wisdoms, particularly for those of you who've maybe are on mute. We got 11 new messages. Let's see which one of them is. Joe Kapeski, Kapeski says, get to the level where you can put a name on the work. Yeah, so where you are exactly right, Joe. So working at the level of the work is such a powerful, and we've got a number of wisdoms in here. Take the right people along for the ride, boots on the ground, so they can help enable implementation based on the premise of overarching design from Heather. You're right about that, Heather, which is, if you know, it fits with Churns' design compatibility. If you want people to work together and own the end game, then and then have them be part of the solution. Anyone else? Other thoughts in our closing minutes?
So this is Rich. I'm struck by your last, nothing changes until behavior changes, which I have to agree on. But I also have to note that behavior is not a lever. And behavior changes when you start pulling levers like rewards, recognition, and other aspects of the org design. So I think if you're really going to be specific, you need to dig below behavior into what changes it.
You know, Rich, was that you?
Yes.
I would partially agree. My disagreement comes as HR levers are reinforcers and are not drivers to behavior change. They're reinforcers. And I would focus more on the work and structure and management mechanisms as the drivers and the core drivers to actually make real change. And then you lock those in by the HR reinforcers.
We're saying the same thing.
Gotcha.
My Good. Point is, behavior is not a lever you pull. It is exactly what you said. It's the work processes, the management philosophy, all of those impact behavior.
Well, listen, everyone, we've come to just about less than a minute ago. And first of all, I hope this your time here has been well spent in getting you to think about operating model and working at the operating model level. It's just the start of a conversation. I welcome any and all conversations following this. So I'm sure my contact information will be available. They'll be on the slides. So I'm going to turn it back to you, Eddie. Thank you, everyone, for allowing me to work with you in this way for the last 60 minutes. Eddie, back to you.
Well, Mark, I want to extend a big thank you for taking the time out, sharing your wisdom on this topic. I know you've stretched my thinking on it. And thanking everyone for participating and joining us. Go back to the website as we are trying to have, you know, at least once a month, some sort of activity. Anya, help me out here on the Wednesday, the global conversations are the third
the
Wednesday,
last Wednesday,
or the last Wednesday
last
every
Wednesday
month.
Of each
we
month.
Have our Nashville conference coming up in April 21st to the 23rd. So we're looking for ways to continually engage everyone. So thank you for joining. And if you have any ideas, topics you want to share, please reach out to myself, Tanya, or anybody on the ODF board.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you for making the time to join us today. Again, I'll stop the recording for now, and then I'll send an email out when I get